going to have to give you this in somewhat paraphrase as I read through the Word of God. But Numbers chapter 13, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And so God wanted Moses to pick out 10 men of each tribe to be spies and to search out the land. And so they did so. But we're going to drop down to verse number 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And they brought a huge cluster of grapes, carried between two men. Verse 28, Nevertheless the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of giant stature, great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And so they come back and give an evil report. Now, verse 20, Moses said, And what the land is, I want you to check it out, and whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. So their job was to go tell him, go and come back and report what the land was like. Their job was not to give their opinion, only information. Moses was not asking them to give their opinion if they think they could handle it. He was asking them to tell us what it looks like and bring back some fruit and be of good courage. He said, be of good courage. Well, guess what? Only two of them were of good courage. The other 10 decided that it can't be done. And so what happens is the majority report. Geographic obstacles, social obstacles, supernatural obstacles. Oh, it's just, it can't happen, can't happen, can't happen. The minority report was a geographic opportunity, social opportunity, supernatural opportunity. There's great opportunity here. It's the optimist versus the pessimist. And the carnal eyes versus the spiritual eyes. The carnal eyes can only see the doom and gloom and the material things, and they don't see what God can do. Now remember, what has God already done for these people? The 10 plagues, the Red Sea, the manna from, I mean, all kinds of stuff. I mean, God has taken care of these people in many different ways. I don't know about the manna. That manna came later. I can't remember off the top of my head. But God took care of these people. And there's no reason for them to rebel or to not believe. But unfortunately, majority rules a lot of the time. And this is why a republic is better than a democracy, because typically in a God-fearing nation, the representatives are going to lead correctly versus a democracy where just the mob rule or majority rule. And so the unbelief resulted. I won't have you turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, Paul says, A great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. It's a great opportunity, and there's great adversaries. Let me tell you something. If there's a great opportunity, there's going to be great enemies. I mean, if it's a real opportunity for God, then there's going to be a real satanic oppression to try to stop it. And so then, chapter 14, And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by this sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we possess, pass through to search it, is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Let me tell you something. Disbelief and disobedience is rebellion. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion leads to ultimate witchcraft and wickedness. Do not rebel. When you don't believe and you don't follow through and you don't obey, it's rebellion. It might not look like rebellion. It might not look as ugly as somebody else's rebellion, but it's still rebellion. And so don't rebel against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. I love how he says that. They are bread for us. You know, good whole wheat, 12 grain bread. Strengthens your heart, bread does, when it's good bread, not Wonder Bread. For they are bread for us, for their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation, the multitude, the majority, bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. God says, Moses, step aside. I'm going to just, right now, zap them. And then I'm going to build a nation out of you. Remember I told you sometimes Moses was done with the people and sometimes God was done with the people? You know what the next thing happens? Moses says, God, please don't. The Egyptians and all the other people know that you've done all this for them. And then if you wipe them all out, they'll say that their God couldn't take care. What a thing for Moses to plead their case. Now, on top of all that, God says, all right. And he listens to Moses, but God says, you're going to have to pay, not you, Moses, but the people that just didn't believe are going to pay. And so verse 29, verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcass shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. So God did what he was going to do, but he recognized the importance of salvaging, and so he decided to only judge those 20 years and older as being responsible enough to not do right. And he said, your carcasses are going to die. And doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and Joshua. Verse 31, but your little ones that you said were going to be a prey, you know, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years. And bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, 40 days, each day for a year shall be ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. He said, I'm going to do this, and that's just the way it's going to be. Except for verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me, fully, him will I bring into the land. Notice, and followed me fully, fully. Other places it says he wholly, wholly, he wholly followed me. And of course, Joshua as well. And ever since I was a young man, I've always appreciated Joshua and Caleb. And you might have noticed that. And so I just think Caleb had a great testimony here. See, Caleb remembered when the blood of the lamb saved them out of Egypt. You know, Caleb remembered that he used to be a slave. He used to be in bondage. He was there. He saw it. And he understood. He did see the manna. I'm remembering now. He did see that God feed them. He did recognize that God would take care of them and already had taken care of them. And even though he kind of lost out here because he's going to have to wait till he's 80 now. He's 40-something. He's going to have to wait till he's in his 80s before he can go see the promised land. But he's not going to complain because he knows that God's still honoring him and he's in charge. Caleb's dream, his dream and desire were fulfilled. And it's because he responded to adversity correctly. But you know what? There's some others, their dreams were destroyed because they didn't do right. We're not going to have time to go through it, but chapter 16 is the story of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram, not Dathan, but Dathan. And Dathan and Abiram decided that they were smarter than Moses and Aaron. And can you believe this? We don't have time to read it all, but can you believe that they had the audacity to blame Moses for having to wander in the wilderness? These are the same people that complain, and now they're blaming it all on Moses. And they're saying that Moses has taken too much on himself, and he thinks he's too high up and whatever. And they start to gripe and to complain. And what does God do? Well, God allows them to be swallowed up. And everybody that stood with Dathan and Abiram, they were literally, God allowed the earth to open its mouth. The earth opened its mouth and closed its mouth. And they were swallowed alive. You know what some of the remaining people did after that happened? They blamed Moses and Aaron for it. I think at that point, I'd have just been like, whatever you say. You know? I mean, it was so obvious. But these people were hard-hearted. In fact, I didn't even show you because we're running out of time. But chapter 14, after they were told by God, you're going to wander 40 years and you're going to die, then they said, oh, we're going. We're going to go now. No, now it's too late. You ever seen kids do that? They don't want to do something. Then you finally say, no, okay, you're not going to do it. And you're going to do that. And then now they want to do it. No, that's rebellion. That's what that is, Mom and Dad, by the way. That's rebellion. And they're just full of rebellion. And so Korah's dream and desire failed, whatever it is he was hoping for. We have to learn not to rebel. And Korah and you know, Dathan and Abiram, they learned the hard way. And their families, 120-some, I think it was, their families all died. It doesn't matter if it's religious-sounding rebellion, it's still rebellion. It doesn't get you anywhere. It's wrong. And it won't work for you. It won't end well. And I want you to go up to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Here's what you read when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizab. Now, this is pretty much Moses' last words before he dies. And so then it records verse 2. There are 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. So from Sinai, the Mount Sinai, Horeb, to Kadesh Barnea, the southern border of the Promised Land, is about 11 days journey. It takes 11 days. Kind of like us. You know, we measure distance in hours. You say, how long does it take to get to Denver? What do we say? 5-6 hours, depending on who's driving. We don't say miles, and that's what they're doing. How long does it take to, well, with this huge army, 11 days. It's going to take 11 days. All right, so it's 11 days journey. Verse 3, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel. All right, so it's an 11-day journey. How long did it take them? 40 years. You know, some people just, they're hard-hearted, they're hard-headed, they don't have enough faith, and they're too blind to see the spiritual side of things. They only see it carnally. And so they just spend so much time wandering around. Listen, if you're a parent like that, if you're a parent like that, and you have struggles with doing the right thing and having faith, at least teach your children and at least tell them, listen, we're suffering because of ourselves. Don't be hard-hearted like Dathan and Abiram and say, it's the preacher's fault or it's somebody else's fault. But just recognize, you know what? We missed out on some opportunities because of some choices we made. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, if I was super, super, super fat, don't say anything, but if I was super, super, super fat, I would want to believe that I would sit down with my children and say, you know what? I look like a blob because of my habits, and I don't want you to do that. But what do most of us as adults do, whether it be that particular issue or some other issue? We defend it, or we ignore it, or we pretend like it's not there. Pride gets in the way. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that they were having funerals every day for 40 years. But you know how many of those parents were telling those kids it was their fault? Not very many. And I can tell you why in a minute. Not very many parents during that 40-year time was saying, you know why we're not where we ought to be? Not many were coming up to the, maybe to the mountaintop and saying, we should be living over there, but we're living here. And you know why we're living here instead of over there? Because we really blew it. Not many were doing that. And the reason why I know that is because even after all these died off, and it took them 40 years to travel 11 days, and we go to Joshua and Judges, in Joshua chapter 15 and Judges chapter 1. Caleb is now 85 years old. But in Joshua 15, boy, was he raring to go. And Caleb said, I want that mountain. God promised to me 40-some years ago. I want it. I'm going. And verse 13, Joshua 15, 13, and unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. Remember, Anak was part of the giants? He gave the 85-year-old guy the giants. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, the giants, Sheshai and Ahihim and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And so, I'm going to stop there. But Judah, his tribe, was given this land, and the 85-year-old guy said, I want the giants. I saw them 40-some years ago, and I knew God could take care of them then. He's going to take care of them now. And Joshua was just as excited to go as before. Now, verse 16. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and take it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. He stands up and says, he gets done wiping out one or two giants, and he goes, I'm 85 years old. Whoever takes that guy there, you can marry my daughter. She must have been a real beauty. And so as soon as he says that, it says, verse 17, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. Now, notice what it says in the beginning of verse 17. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb. Where's Kenaz? Where's Kenaz? He's dead. Right? Right? Kenaz is buried in the wilderness. Who raised Kenaz's son? His uncle. Caleb. And Caleb said, come on, Othniel. Your own dad didn't do it, but we're going to do the right thing. And listen, you know what? Sometimes the parents aren't doing the right thing. We're seeing that, don't we? We see that all the time. But why can't we take on an Othniel and say, I'm going to teach you and show you, take you under my wing? By the way, you get to Judges chapter number 1. Judges chapter number 1. It says in verse 28, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, and did not utterly drive them out. You know who the only guy is that drove them out? The 85-year-old guy. The rest of them didn't drive them out like they're supposed to. But the old 85-year-old guy, Caleb, did. Oh, and by the way, one more thing. You know who the first judge of the land was after Joshua died? Othniel. Othniel. Folks, of all those parents that died in the wilderness, none of them raised Othniel to be a leader. Instead, they died blaming God or blaming the preacher or blaming somebody else. You know what? You can do kids a big favor if you'll just be honest with them and say, I messed up in this area, I messed up in this area, but I don't want you to make the same mistakes. And I want to pull my kids aside sometimes and tell them I was wrong and show them how we could have done it better and teach them and say, hey, I messed up here. And I want to use the opportunity. I don't want to wander in the wilderness and teach my kids to just wander in the wilderness. I want them to be fighters and to be strong and be in their faith and fight for God and do what's right. And Caleb and Joshua have that kind of a testimony. And you and I, even if maybe we've kind of blown some things, maybe God is not going to let us have all the promises now that we would have liked. Well, let's not let it die. Let's see our children and the opportunity, the privilege, and the opportunities that they have to go on even farther. I feel like I really wasted my life if my kids aren't better than me. My kids should be better than me. I mean, I should be able to take what I gleaned from my parents and then infuse in them even better than what I was, because hopefully they're getting a head start and even further along down the road. And hopefully my grandchildren will be better even than their parents. That won't be too hard, I don't think. But anyhow, I hope you get some encouragement from these stories in the Bible that aren't just stories, but they're examples to us. Because do you see the picture of wandering around? So many people just tread in water because they didn't do something. Way back when they had a crux in the road, there was a real decision-making time, and they didn't do the right thing. They rebelled against what God wanted them to do, and they just flounder, and they just wander. And the sad part is their children don't learn a better way. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Be like Caleb. Be like Othniel. Be like Joshua. We're out of time. We need to pray. Lord, we thank you for God. And thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that you teach us in the Bible. The examples of Joshua, Caleb, and the meekness and the patience of Moses, and how there's a whole nother story there. But we just thank you for how that even in the wilderness wanderings, you gave them a man like Moses to lead them and be patient with them. But help us to see the young people. Maybe it's not their fault that they're in the country they're in, they're in the shape they're in the world they're in, but to teach them they can go forward and they can conquer the giants and they can win and they can go farther. And help us to eradicate all the rebellion in our hearts, the disbelief and the disobedience and the things that are there that we keep hidden and we don't even remember they're there, but you know they're there, that they will be eradicated, because it will just flounder. Our children will end up like us instead of better than us. Help that not to be the case. And help us to be able to take an Othniel under our wing and to teach someone else not to wander around, but to be a leader. And may that be said of us. And we thank you for the privilege we have of knowing your word, and help it to be real and real, a real testimony through our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.